Hey, welcome to the Bible study. Appreciate you joining us live and in person and also via the World Wide Web. I had a bunch of people text message me looking forward to it. In fact, Alan mentioned, he wrote in and said, "Brother Barry, we are joining you live at the fire station. I still don't get my ride on the fire truck yet, and I want the lights going too, man." If I go on the fire truck, I want it to be like, you know, we can go to lunch or something really exciting. And he says, "We have six here watching you on a big screen. I finally made it on the big time." We're glad you're watching from Prattville and appreciate you joining us. Go to Romans chapter 11. I appreciate the opportunity to be of service to you and help you grow your faith. In Romans chapter 11, I want to just show you some simple facts. Some of y'all may have down, some of you may not. And why God did what He did. I think it's fascinating. You know, I'm going to put the timeline up on the board. That's a hint to my cameraman I'm moving to the board. God has 12 apostles. He loses one, but then He gains one, which equals 12 in Acts chapter 2. So in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came down, there were 12 men. And sometime after that, a period after that, God saved another one, another man in Acts chapter 9. And that man's name is Saul. And Saul of Tarsus, and his name is later changed to Paul. A lot of people believe that his name was changed because of his first convert was Paul of the Isle of Agnes, and that may very well be true. There's no real proof of that in the Bible, but it's a Gentile name, and he takes it on. And in this period of time, I was going to start in Romans 11, but I want to start in 1 Corinthians 9. Instead. In 1 Corinthians 9, I want to start in verse 16. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. The Bible says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for a necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Now, this gospel isn't the same gospel that the 12 had. And I want you to see that something was laid upon Paul at that point. And they didn't have it. And there's no way that this gospel here of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John can be the same as that one over there, if you believe your Bible. He says, "For if I do this thing willingly," verse 17, "I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." Now, the word dispensation has to do with dispensing. Think of the word a dispensary. Anybody here connected with the military or know anything about the military? They have dispensaries where they give out drugs at the hospital. Dispensaries, they're dispensing. God is using Paul to dispense out. Y'all remember when they used to use the term Reaganomics? Back in the days of Reagan? Reaganomics is talking about his economy. Well, the Reaganomics is that kind of concept is the same thing as a dispensation. It doesn't have to do with time. Ultimately is measured in time, but it doesn't have to do anything with time. Does that make sense? A dispensation can be 5,000 years long, or it can be 2 years. That doesn't really matter. It ultimately is measured in time, but it isn't time by itself. And this dispensation is very important. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Now, if you want to text me, you can do that on my cell phone. Do not call. The number is 334-669-0920. We're live. We'll answer it on the air, if Lord willing, if I can. If I can't, Wade is here tonight. Thank God he'll cover my back. I appreciate that, brother. And at the end of the thing, we'll cut the cameras off. I'd like to talk to you about an idea I've got. Okay, it's just a thought, you know. It's not like it's written in stone or anything.
We haven't heard that
idea. All right, now that's, huh?
Okay, listen.
You know, I'll give it to you at the end. It doesn't really concern anybody on the internet, but I think it's doable. I think we need to get focused. And by the way, Monday night, who watched the Monday night Bible study? We had a girl get saved there, Jolene. Just fantastic. It's just amazing.
I can't get it on my Apple. I don't know what the problem is.
On Justin TV?
No, on my...
Oh, the ours. Yeah, there is a problem on an Apple, but you can get Justin TV on Monday night at Justin TV or Justin.tv / the Bible study. The Bible study. And it's Justin.tv / the Bible study, and you can join us Monday night live. And we are going to have that capacity here pretty quick, even of our own, and so all the Mac users will be able to plug in. It's the flash that we're having problems getting beyond, and I think if we can do that, in fact, one day toward the end of this week, we may want you to be at home, and let's see if we can't fix that problem, because I think there's a way of resolving that even on Grace Bible Live. But I've had 4 or 5 Mac users. We're going to go to a format that I think everybody, even Mac users, will be able to get. So hopefully we'll have that resolved. Galatians chapter 1. Do you all turn there? Oh, good. All right. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. He says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me..." Remember that he said that the dispensation of the gospel was committed unto him. You got it? That Paul is this convert in Acts chapter 9. I know in Acts chapter 8 what Paul's doing. He's making havoc of the church. And so we've got a timeline, and this is nothing more than time ticking along. You got it? This is Matthew through John, what we call the New Testament. I'm going to do that as the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to put Malachi here. Comes all the way back to Genesis, and from eternity past all the way across, time is ticking along. There's some approximately 4,000 years there. You got it? You with me? That's approximately, is it 4,004? It could be. I mean, I spent 1 year of my life studying calendars. Now, I know that sounds stupid to you, but we don't use the same calendar they use. Their years, Jewish years, were 360 days. Ours is 364 and a fourth day. Or 365 and a fourth day, I think, maybe. You know. But the point that I'm making is they're different. And so things don't line up the same. And not only that, there's a we use a Roman Catholic calendar. There are about 12 calendars. We use the Julian calendar. And no matter how you cut it, it is very hard are very difficult to line those calendars up because of all the differences. And I know that might come to a shock to George, but the sun doesn't go around the earth. We actually figured that out, you know, a few hundred years back. And those calendar days mean something and all of that. But that's time. That's real. That's real time. It can be, I'm just throwing up, there's a May 13th here on that calendar somewhere. You all understand? There is a real date for each day of those days. These aren't ambiguous things that are just happening. I mean, there's real events happening on specific time in the Bible. Does that make sense? It isn't just... That's funny, Jerry. Jerry just texted me, we need a grace calendar. We won't need it very soon. It's coming and we'll have grace forever. But when he says, but I certify you, brethren, verse 11, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, I know for a fact that Paul didn't get it from any of these people back here. By that statement there. Now, you say, well, Brother Barry, you know, are you saying Paul didn't get anything from those men? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. He got everything he got, according to the next verse, by direct revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at it. Look at verse 12. And by the way, I'd be getting my Bible pen out. You're going to want it here in just a second. Because you're going to want to write some notes in your Bible here. In verse 12, for I neither received it of man, reiteration, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, hold on here. Go to Acts chapter 8 for a minute and look at the time sequences that are happening. In Acts chapter 8, look if you will in verse 1. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Who's the his?
Stephen.
It's Stephen of verse 59. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church. Now that's not the church, the body of Christ. That's the church which was at Jerusalem. You see that? And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. A devout man carried Stephen to his burial and great lamentations over him. As for Saul, there's the guy we're talking about. He had made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hauling men and women, committing them to prison. Well, I know in Acts chapter 8, Paul isn't listening to the Lord. In Acts chapter 8, Paul's living it up. And by the way, he's fulfilling that which was very, very important to where he was going to ultimately end up. All of this was happening for a reason that God had planned. Now, you know what? Saul had no clue what was going on. You got that? I mean, he was just doing. He thought he was being Mr. Joe Christian. Well, let's not use the word Christian. Joe Pharisee, and that's probably a better way to say that. Saul was being Joe Pharisee and really trying to show forth his Jewish faith by capturing these guys that were naming the name of Christ and all of that. Go to Acts chapter 9, where the conversion happens. Look at verse 1, Acts chapter 9. Time is ticking along. We're still not at his conversion. And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he might... And by the way, how do you know these weren't Gentiles? The church he was persecuting. Where did Saul go? Into the synagogue. He desired letters to go in the synagogue because that's where those guys were hanging out. Hold on to here and go to Acts chapter 2. There couldn't have been a Gentile there if they wanted to. Look in Acts chapter 2. We're going to come right back to Acts chapter 9. But look in Acts chapter 2 for a minute. Verse 46. Watch this. There's not a Gentile believer here. There are no Gentile believers here. How do I know that? Well, verse 46. And they, Acts 2, 46, watch this. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Would God have let a Gentile into the temple?
No
way. You got it? There's no way that God would have done that. And the fact that they're in the temple, why would they be at the temple? Because they're not destroying the Jewish faith. They're upholding that promise that was made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All the kingdom promises had to do with who? Israel. Hold on. Yes.
If that's the case, and Saul knew the Old Testament scriptures. I mean, he was taught by Gamaliel and so forth.
He was.
Why would he have not known what they were saying was in fact true?
Well, you know.
Why was he still persecuting? Wouldn't he have known at that time just based on, or was he blinded?
That is a very good point, and I can answer it this way. The blindness is still on today.
Right.
You want to know why? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe it is. See, you can't stump me, brother. Even though I'm not feeling up to par, I know I'm a little sluggish, and I hate that for Mary. It's her first time here, and I'm like, kind of feeling yucky. I need a little Diet Coke. You're probably right. So how long have you and Deborah been having problems?
32 years and...
Where is she tonight?
Greenville, Alabama.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't live at your house anymore, does she?
Not very often, no. I have to make an appointment to see her. That's why I was calling the church and I had to leave it as well. Appointment that I had for the weekend. I had to go. I had to go.
I don't believe you. If you forsake your, go and try to serve your wife and family instead of the Lord, he said in Matthew that you're not worthy of him.
Yeah, but I haven't forsaken my first love, Jesus Christ. So I'm here, even though she's here. So.
All right. That's also because you'll be unemployed if you left.
Before.
Work to go be with her. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I just thought I'd point out that he's not been with his wife in
a long time.
In a long time. Hey, we miss her.
Come October the 1st.
We'll be back to normal.
Hopefully.
All right.
Pastor, we have a visitor.
We do? No, we don't. Where?
Miss Mary.
Oh,
she might believe you.
She is not a visitor. She's family. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at this. Why was the question was asked, just in case you couldn't hear on the internet, Carlton said, why was Paul blinded? Well, look what happened. Verse 13, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. Whose minds? Israel's mind. For until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in what?
Christ.
So he didn't have Christ, and so what was over his eyes? The veil. And just so that you know how strong this veil is, well, let me just read down just a little bit more, and then I want to go to Romans 9. Saul was in a condition that, listen, in the reading of the Old Testament, they just spiritualized everything. They didn't even really obey God's law. These religious Pharisees had gotten so far away from God, they didn't even know who God was. And he says, verse 15, and this is true today, but even unto this day, when Moses is read the law, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be what? Taken away. Now, his heart wasn't on the Lord. They thought he was a nuisance. They thought he was in insurrection. They thought he was trying to destroy the Jewish faith. And all those things was true. Go to Romans chapter 9. See, sometimes these rabbit trails are really important to understand. In Romans chapter 9, the last part of the verse. Watch this. What? Yep. I'm going to get right back on my main trail. You haven't pulled me completely off my message. Thank you. I'm focused like a laser beam. I'm like, woo! You know, don't get in front of me because you may disintegrate.
And then those in Jerusalem, they were filled with the Holy Spirit.
And they were filled, and they had accepted the Lord, and so the veil was lifted from their heart. That's exactly right. Good point. That's why I read that. You're ready to preach, aren't you? I know stuff is good, man. I mean, wait, isn't this good stuff?
Yeah, but it still hadn't. The veil was partially lifted, but it's still.
Revelation
hadn't been given yet.
No, not only that, but even today, it's still. People go to church and they hear the Old Testament, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the law, and they never even see the mystery. And you think, how could they not see it?
If you ever witness to a Jew, you'll find out real quick what he does.
Oh, buddy, I mean, I have done a few Orthodox Jews. It's been kind of interesting. And let me tell you, by the way, the Amish and some of the Mennonites are very legalistic. And guess what's upon their eyes? The veil. And the only thing that takes that veil away is the preaching of the cross. The mystery.
Oh, yeah.
Go right down the road here to the prophecy thing.
I know that. Absolutely. Look in Romans chapter 9. Now watch this. Verse 30. What shall we say then that the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, hath attained to the righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith, but Israel, well, here it is, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the what?
Word of the law.
And what blinds the mind of those people? The reading of the law, right? So Israel was blind. And the few that heard the 3,000 and then the 5,000 in Acts chapter 2, you know, 4, 5, 6, and 7... all of those heard. But you know where Saul was? Blind. Go back to Acts chapter 9 where his conversion happens. Watch this. And this is why I think Paul, who is Saul at the time, gets saved here. This is why. You're going to see why I believe that Saul got saved at this point. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prince. And he was trembling and astonishing, saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's submission. But look what happens over here in verse 17 and 18. Watch this. Ananias, he goes into Damascus. He's waiting for it. Ananias comes up. Ananias really doesn't want to go see him because he's heard this guy is a bad dude. But in verse 17, Ananias went his way and entered into the house. and putting his hand on him said, Brother Saul. Why would he call him Brother Saul if he wasn't saved? You see that? That wouldn't have been a term. It would have been, hey, you murdering guy. Y'all understand? He said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way that thou camest, and hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. He saw. That veil was ripped open. He saw for the first time everything that was done from that time that he met the Lord on the road to Damascus to the point that scale all of a sudden came crystal clear. Y'all understand? He wasn't in the dark anymore. You know that old saying, that guy's in the dark. Well, Saul wasn't in the dark anymore at that point. Those scales came off and he saw that which the Lord was talking to him. Now, Brother Wade alluded to the revelation. I want you to go back to Galatians chapter 1, back onto my track. Now, that's all the rabbit trail there. I'm going down on that part. I believe that Saul was religiously blind, and until that moment was blind until he saw. And thus we have that song that's so popular, I was blind, but now I see. You know what? Before I got saved, I believed it was God. I believed God was going to put my good on one side and my bad on the other and weigh it out. I believed that. I believed it with all my heart. There was sincerity with that. I was very active in the church. I was just sincerely wrong. When I finally saw the gospel, guess what happened? I quit believing that. You understand? The same thing was true with me that was with Saul. In Galatians chapter 1, go back to verse 11. And I want to read 11 and 12 again and strengthen it up a little. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, he says, But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. We just read about it in Acts chapter 9. And you need to put 9, verse 3 through 18. That was where he got the revelation. Now, I knew he was going to go. Does he get multiple revelations as he walks along? Yes, he gets multiple revelations, and he talks about that. But the first revelation he got had to do with the mystery that was kept secret since the world began. Go to Romans 16. You're going to want to mark this in your Bible. You're going to want to score it, highlight it, do whatever you got to do. And in Romans 16, verse 25. Now watch this. Romans 16, verse 25. Just believe your Bible. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel. Why didn't he say according to the 12's gospel? There's something uniquely about that word my that God wants, and it only happens 3 times in your scripture. Here's some Bible penning time. You ready? Get your Bible pen out. It's mentioned in Romans 2, verse 16. It's mentioned here, and it's mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. You need to write that in your Bible. What? Are you shaking your head?
No, I'm not.
It's in mine. Oh, it is in yours.
Oh, yeah.
You're a good student then, aren't you?
I'm trying.
Diane, is it in yours? Okay, I would put them all in, then you'll be the most intelligent person on planet Earth. Mark. Good. So that my gospel is unique. Why? You also want to put Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. He didn't get it from man, neither was he taught it. So he didn't hear it from any of these guys at all. The light just went out. Wiggle the plug and see if it turns it back on. The bulb may have gone. flip it off and back on. Well, the camera will have to come back on.
Oh. Okay. So.
I'm acting frozen. I just thought that would be funny, you know.
Are you trying?
My gospel, he didn't get it from these guys. He got it from direct revelation. Well, it wasn't in Acts chapter 8, and it wasn't in the beginning of Acts chapter 9. It was somewhere between 9:3 and 18 that he got it. But he got it. Say, can you be more specific than that? Not really. Say, well, it happened in 9:3 when he got knocked off. Okay, I'm okay with that. Say, well, it was Acts 9:18 exactly. I'm okay with that too. Some of this stuff doesn't have to be down to one verse. I know it happened in the range of those verses. And what happened? Well, look what he said. Verse 25 again. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Well, we've done this chart 100 million times, but you just can't, when you got new people, you got to keep going over it. And it's still good preaching, right? It was kept secret. If it was kept secret, was it taught in Genesis?
No.
How about Samuel?
No.
Malachi?
No.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
No.
Not if it was kept secret from this point here to that point. If that verse means what it says, whatever Paul got had to be different. Yes, Carlson. Now, the second question always costs $29.95.
So very short.
No, it doesn't matter how long. You can ask a long question, too. It's still 29.95. Go ahead.
Well, you mentioned Acts 9:3 through 18. I heard somewhere where you don't get Acts, there's no doctrine in Acts.
It's no what?
There's no doctrine.
Doctrine.
Yeah, doctrine.
Yes, that's true.
It's not in the book of Acts.
That is true. But it's still a timeline.
Yeah, oh yeah.
See, we're not talking doctrine here.
Right.
We're talking in the book of Acts. You use Acts because Acts is laying out time along the way. Y'all understand? That's what it's, the Acts of the Apostles. What are they doing along the way? It's Acts in itself is a 40-year timeline.
If you ever get a pop quiz, can you find doctrine in Acts? And you know the answer?
You can't find doctrine and the reflection of doctrine.
Right.
But you won't find the actual doctrine given.
Right.
You'll see the reaction of doctrine. Might be a better way of saying that. And things like that. Well, why are you staring at me like that, Tony? You're staring at me.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I've been working at this for 25 years, and I figured if by now I'm not getting it, I'm probably not going to be worth anything.
Well, after my trials, I figure it's going to take me 20, 25. As soon as I'm just getting his lab out.
But Larry can do it, brother. He's just scared. He's not scared of that camera, though. He's like a Mr. Photographer waiting to happen.
When I stand back there, my knees knock in my head shakes.
Mine does, too. Ask Wade. It did to him, too, especially when you're using your wife's Bible. And you look down and there ain't no notes there. I'm like, what do you do? It freaks you out. I got to tell you, I was actually pretty impressed. I watched that night. Yeah, I thought he did for the pressure he was under, knowing I was watching, knowing that he did. I mean, I thought he did a good job. I was proud of him. I was afraid I wasn't going to have a job when I came back. That's how good he was. It was wonderful. I praise God for it. Where did I tell you to go? Romans 16. Now watch this. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made what? Well, it's being made manifest right now. What was that mystery? Well, let me show you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Watch this. I mean, you don't get this at other churches. Mary, do you get this at other churches? Huh? This good, rightly dividing stuff? Not many. You hear all kinds of gospel stuff, and that's good, you know. Mm-hmm. This stuff is kind of neat. Mm-hmm. This is neat stuff. This is good. Verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. And by the way, who's the princes of this world?
Satan.
Yeah, Satan and his angel. And he constantly is working, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, he's like, he doesn't sleep. You all know that, right? But we speak the wisdom of God in a
mystery.
You know what I'd have right there? Romans 16, verse 25. And if you don't, you should. If you don't, you should. Carlton's checking his note. He's got it. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world. You see that? We know it's the right mystery. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, the what? The mystery. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, they talked about the death, burial, and resurrection. Was that prophesied? Give me a prophecy that dealt with that.
Isaiah 6.
Isaiah 6. Give me another one. Jonas?
That's what he's saying.
You know, as the Son of Man shall be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, just like Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the world. They knew about the death, burial, and resurrection, and Jesus even tried to explain that to them in Matthew 16 and many other places. The death, burial, and resurrection is not the gospel. It was part of the gospel of the kingdom. You got it? But it wasn't the gospel that Paul got. Why? That was already known. There was prophecies that had already been fulfilled. And I mean, Luke 24, check it out. He's explaining all that to the 12 about the DVR. But what happened on the road to Damascus was the DVR plus S factor. I really like writing the factor down here. It looks mathematical, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. The S factor. What was the S factor? It was the mystery that had been what? It was the fact that here is the beginning of your life and here is the end of your life and you have committed sins. Not like Dale. Now, Dale doesn't commit many sins. But more like Miss Jean, who's got a load of them.
Amen.
And the good news that Paul got was all this mess was placed upon the Lord and he became that. All right, so he took your sins away. How many sins do you have now?
None.
Now, if you, I was in an independent Baptist church, premillennial Baptist church one time, and they told me to keep confessing my sins. The problem was unconfessed sins. In fact, prayer. You couldn't even pray to God. I've heard this, that you cannot pray to God with unconfessed sins. How many's heard that? Everybody in here. Well, that's hooey. God hears you. God hears you the moment you ask.
Is
it kind of
like
doo-doo
or
religion? I've taught these kids well, haven't I? The reason you don't have any sins, the reason that your sins are gone is because of a mystery that was kept secret, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so, Saul, who gets this in Acts chapter 9, tells us that all your sins are gone. How about if Satan had known back here that Jesus Christ was going to die for your sins? What do you think he would have done? He'd have kept him from dying. And by the way, would Jesus Christ had ever died? Why? He didn't sin. What is death? The wages of sin is death. He would have never died. He was the sinless Son of God. He would have never died. Why did Jesus Christ die?
For our sins.
No, come on. Why did he die? No, no, come on.
He really died because they crucified him as a criminal.
No, 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 come on. That's too mechanical. You're too mechanical. Come on. Why did he die? The wages of sin is death. He took your sins. No, no. He became your sin. I mean, think about it for just a minute. He became your sin. Then did he have to die? So it wasn't just the dying, I believe. If you get into this mechanically, go to Mark chapter 14. Mark 14. Let me get my wits about me. Yeah. Verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. Verse 33. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forth a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible that the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou will be done. Whatever was in that cup, I believe that that cup represents you. He had a cup. And that cup were all your filthy, rotten, low-down, snake-in-the-grass sins in that cup. And he hadn't become sin yet. But as soon as he partakes of that cup, your sins were transferred, whether you believe it or not, into him. And I believe from that verse on, he had to die. Whether we ever heard it or not, he had to die. Why? Jesus Christ became a sinner. Jesus Christ had never sinned, but he became sin. That's why he yells on the cross. Look in Psalms 22. Boy, this stuff is good. I read this stuff and I'm just like, man, I mean, they just ain't got a clue in most of the... where did I tell you?
Psalms 22.
Any of them's good, but go to Psalms 22 if you got a chance. I believe when he yells this, that this point, he has already taken this and now hanging on the cross. But listen to what he yells. In Psalms 22, verse 1. My God! My God! Why hast thou forsaken me? What was Jesus Christ on that cross? A God-forsaken man. Why hast thou forsaken me? You know why? Sin. God cannot be in the presence of sin. Guess what his son had become?
Sin.
For the first time in all, when he took of that cup, he was separated from God the Father at that point. And when we talk about the faith of Christ, he no longer has the God Fathership over him. He's all alone. People don't get that. He's all alone at this point. In fact, they mock him about the whole thing. They mock him and said, man, listen, Israel cried upon him, the prophets cried, and they answered him. Why aren't they answering you? They mocked him. But you know why God couldn't be there? Sin wasn't in anyone else. All the sin of the people here. This person. All the sins of the people everywhere was culminating right there. All of them. The Old Testament saints. Their sin was on him. The Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John believers. Their sin was on them. The Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 people. Their sin was on them. The Gentiles that were in the covenant and the ones outside the covenant. His sins were on there too. He stood in that cross as the culmination of everyone that was a sinner. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he did the will of the Father. When we talk about the faith of Christ, faith, he's not, he doesn't have the Godhead hovering over him saying, son, I'm right here. He doesn't have the Godhead hovering over and said, I'll protect you from all this. He was literally sitting there as a God-forsaken man. Now think about that. He didn't have, I mean, people messed this whole thing up. I mean, if you read, listen to this. He says, verse 2, oh my God, I cry in thee in the daytime, but thou hearest not. What did God do? He turned his back on his son. You know why? Sin. Well, had anybody known that that was going to happen, they would have never crucified him. But it wasn't the crucifixion that they needed to stop, that they wanted to stop it. It was that event in Mark 14, verse 36, where he takes it in. That cup. You got it? They would have had to stop it before Mark 14, 36. Stopping them on the cross, I have said something so wrong for Rob, a lot of times it's good preaching though, you know. That Satan would have jumped up and gave him CPR on the cross. Mm-hmm. I've said that 100 times. How many heard me say that? That would have been too late. I mean, I sit back and think about this. Now, I don't know what you think about while you're sitting there. You're probably watching Fox News and worried about the oil spill. But I'm sitting here thinking about, man, you know, that wouldn't have helped. I mean, Satan couldn't have climbed on the cross and stopped it. Why? The sentence was given. Well, the sentence was the results was the cross. But if it wasn't the cross, what was going to happen? Thank you, Gene. Everybody should have said he was going to die anyway. Why? So if it wasn't the cross, it would have been something else. Why? He had become sin. The reality is there was nothing stopping it. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:21 is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Turn there for a minute. And you ought to read Psalms 22. I mean, there wasn't any help from the Lord. He's there, buddy, all alone. You know why? He's been made something that he can't change what he is at that point. He has to pay the total cost. And I don't think people... You ever hear this stuff preached? I don't hear it preached very often. I don't hear anybody even really thinking about it, do you? All about prosperity. How about the cross? You know why he was dropping great drops of blood? He knew what was coming. Come on, I mean, we know what's coming, amen? Are you going to die?
Yeah.
I mean, I look at Josh, and he's a good-looking kid. He's one of my favorite boys this tall. I mean, he is probably my favorite boy this tall. That's all right. He's been busy all day. He really is. He's my favorite boy. I'm glad he comes to Bible study. I'm glad he's interested. He's my favorite boy. But you know what? He can look at Brother Barry and say, "You look like sneakers. You look like you're feeling pretty rough." I said, "Yep. Wait until you get my age." Then, of course, they look over at Carlton and see where it's going from here to there. You know what? We can see it's happening, isn't it? We can't stop it. You can get in all good shape. You can get all your muscle. You can take all the vitamins you want. You can't stop it. You can walk 3 miles a day. You can't stop it. It's coming. Coming whether you like it or not, because you know the wages of sin is death. But in 2 Corinthians 5, God played a trick on the entire universe. And he said this in verse 21. "For he," that is God, "hath made him," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us." Now, I would put Mark 14:36, that's where it happened. He became sin there. He wanted it to pass, but he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And it's apparent that he took it. And from that point on, to the cross was inevitable. Now, did it have to be the cross?
No.
He was going to die no matter what. The choice was no longer his. Y'all understand? He couldn't just go, "Hey, quit. I'm not going to be sin anymore." He couldn't do that. He had not the power to snap his finger and say, "I'm not going to be sin anymore." Do you all understand that? I mean, he didn't have a God power that he could just say, "Nope, I am not sin anymore." By the time he took that cup, his choices were sealed. His fate was real. You got it? It wasn't slowing down for him or anyone. Did he have to die at 33? No. But he was now going to do what? And before that cup, he was never going to die. You know why? Look at the second part of the verse. "Who knew no sin." What was the wages of sin? Well, what happens if you didn't have sin? You wouldn't have death. So he literally, think about what happened. He had no death in him. He was never, ever going to die. And he would have been the only human being that would have been like that. Why? All have sinned except him. All of them. He would have been the only human being that could have lived forever. Everybody else in the world would have been lost. Everybody. I mean, he'd have been the only one alive. Y'all ever think of this stuff? I mean, really? He'd have lost the battle because the sentence was already on you from birth. You were born into it. You were born into Adam. In Adam, all what? Because you pass on sin. You know, when two black people get together, you know what I'm expecting coming out? A black child. When two white people come get together, I don't expect a Chinese one. That's like, hey, there's something weird here. You got it? When two sinners get together, guess what they're going to produce? A little sinner. And you were born into it. Church Christ believed that you make a decision of being sin. No. You know why I know that? You know how you know for a fact that that's not true? Babies die. Why did that baby die? Sin. Not sins. Sin. So a baby gets born and it's stillborn. Why did it get born stillborn? Sin. It wasn't because they smoked a cigar and did a little blackjack and drank a little bourbon. It's what they were in Adam. And that's how you know that for a fact. And there's two passages of Scripture. So we got the first part. God made His Son to be sin for us. Where was that? Mark 14, verse 36, right? And He knew no sin, so He wasn't ever going to die, because the wages of sin is what?
Yeah.
And He wasn't in that. Was He born of His father Adam? Huh? No, who was His father? God Almighty. He didn't come from Adam. So He didn't have the same sentence that you that are in Adam have. You got it? Anybody learning anything tonight? This is important stuff, guys. God Almighty knew no sin. But He was made to be sin for us. And His sin didn't start at the cross. A lot of people say, well, He died for sins right here. He was dying from the moment He took that cup until it actually happened. Just like you're dying. Right now. Exactly the same.
Adam messed us up, right?
Huh?
Adam and Eve messed all of them.
Yep. Doesn't matter whether you're black, white, yellow, green, orange. You know, I'm telling you, people that have all white churches or all black churches, there's something wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Christ died for sinners. You know what that included? Everybody, as far as I can tell, according to the book. I mean, you got to think about this stuff. And so Paul gets a message that the Lord had become sin. Well, had that message gotten out back here before He took of this cup, what would have happened? They would not let Him get that far. And you would be lost forever. Once He became sin, here's the other issue of that. I want to get to the other side of that. Now He has no choice. He's going to die. He could have fought it. But if He dies, He said, not my will, but Thy will be done. The will of God the Father was that He die and that He goes into hell. And He had to believe that God would raise Him up again in a human, God-forsaken body. By the time He took that, He became a sinner and God wasn't there to help Him anymore. He had to believe by Scripture. Listen to me, just like you have to believe by Scripture, that God was going to let Him die and that God was going to raise Him up the third day. He had never, you got to think about it. Up to that point, there wasn't really a big idea of, I'm going to die for somebody's sin. Wasn't until that garden that He gets all kinds of nervous. Did you notice that He said, if there's any will that this cup could pass, let it pass? Because He's now getting the clock to what's about to happen. That's pretty wild, isn't it? So God the Father leaves Him. He's a God-forsaken man, really, from Mark 14. And on the cross, it's apparent that He's God-forsaken. And they mock Him about being a God-forsaken man. And all He has to rely on are the prophecy of Jonah and that He is the fulfillment of that. All He's got is the Scriptures to comfort Him. Go back to Psalms 22. I mean, I think about this stuff all the time, and maybe that's probably what's wrong with me. Brenda probably would want to have a conversation with me one day. I'm sitting there quiet, and she's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I don't know. Huh? Look at the mockery. This is... I don't know how you break into this. You know, this is all good. Psalm 22. Look in verse 4. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. Guess what he's going to be? He is going to be confounded. He's going to be damned for your sins. And look at his state of feeling. I am a worm and no man. He realizes what he has become. Can you imagine going in the mental turn of perfect purity to this position that now I'm a worm and no man? Just the mental twist of that. Diane, can you imagine that? I mean, that's an amazing... I mean, if you think about the mentality of going from a completely sinless body, completely in the will of God the Father, completely in the understanding of all that, and then all of a sudden you go and you become sin, and now you look at yourself and you say, I'm a worm and no man. Look what he said. Look what happens here. Verse 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. What did that feel like? He'd been out healing everybody, raising the dead, helping everybody along the way, and now they're laughing him to scorn. And they shoot out their lips and they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, that, and he wasn't going to get delivered. And he couldn't stop them. And you want to know why? Because he was dying for your sins. He had something that was a secret that he couldn't tell anybody. And now he's trapped in sin and he's facing the death of the cross. And now he's got these little scoundrels of humans mocking him. Look at his feelings. Verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. You know what? God isn't going to help him. What would you think if your own father wouldn't help you? That's pretty wild, isn't it? How many's got a little bit better understanding what really went on? Yeah. You see, the idea is to understand this stuff. Well, that couldn't have been said back here, for had they known it, they would not have crucified him. So the mystery was this S factor. What was it that was kept secret that was delivered to the Apostle Paul? Well, it was the fact that he died not only for your sin and your sins, he died for both, and he made his son, and there it is, being punished and paid for right there in full, and you have none. Hearing anybody say, well, how about that whore? Didn't she have sin? You know, like I said, I was going back to that independent premillennial Baptist church that I used to go to. And I want you to let me tell you that they thought it was a sin issue. They thought your prayer was blocked by sin. They thought your life was blocked by sin. You need to get rid of it. You need to come down and confess it. And I mean, I watched hundreds of people come down to the front and blow snot at an old-fashioned altar trying to get rid of sin. When the gospel is that Christ already died for your sins. When I heard that news, buddy, I needed it. See, I didn't have a little bitty sin. I mean, I see Diane and I see a pretty godly lady. I don't know how Wade got her, but anyway, it's pretty cool. Anyway, She probably has a little sin. Or Rhoda. I know Rhoda. She had very little sin. I had a ton. You understand? It wasn't like there was a few in my box. There was a few I can't even mention. I haven't even told Brenda everything because just in case she'd leave me. You know, I mean, it's bad. You understand what I mean? Well, he became that. And that was told to the Apostle Paul in a secret that nobody else knew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John didn't teach it. Nobody else taught it. That S factor is the difference between your salvation. See, I believed in the death, burial, and resurrection my whole life. And I was lost. You know, I do believe in a thing called lost believers. I mean, I believe there's a lot of people that can believe in the DVR, and they profess the DVR, the DVR, the DVR. But if you asked them if they had sin, they'd say, yeah. And then they're missing the whole point. I ask people all the time, say, you believe Christ died for all your sins? Oh, yeah. I said, what happens if you committed suicide? No, he hadn't forgiven that one. Well, then he lied, because he said he died for all. Say, well, what happens if you commit murder? Oh, well, you know, there are things that, you know, you can backslide and lose your salvation. I mean, you know, you just can't do those kind of things, you know. Are you kidding me? Listen, that's why God chose Saul. Because he was a murdering, religious, wretched human being. A blasphemer that the Bible said couldn't be forgiven. So if God did forgive him, it would have to be the ultimate grace. Amen? That's why he says, I'm chief sinner. He was a blasphemer. He couldn't get saved. Look up Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. You know, look it up. The only way God could save him is by the portals of grace. And you know what? That's probably true of me too. I think God, you know, people, they get up and they just play church and they're doing all that. Man, I'm so excited about this book. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. This book is the most exciting thing in my life. To know he would be willing to do that for me. Amen. Knowing what filth I am. Mm-hmm. That amazes me. If you haven't ever trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd recommend you trusting him right now. I don't care who you are, where you're at, what place you're watching. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, give up. Jolene said she took her hands off the rope. I let go, she said. That's the best thing you can do. You'll let go, he'll save you. The Bible says, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You want to be saved? Just call on him, he'll save you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He's done everything possible for your salvation. It's an honor to preach his word and to see that cross and to understand what God did for us. It's amazing. All right.